3:28. The Soviets have guessed that Ubik contains a correct cosmology radically different from all accepted ones. Richard was on the right track with Empedocles. That's the what. Next, they wanted to know how. How come? I proved to be an idiot savant, much to their disgust. Boy, what I could tell them now. Maybe those four Marxists were right about Ubik being subversive to capitalist society. Note. In a September 2, 1974 letter to the FBI, Dick warned the agency about SF critic Darko Suvin and three other Marxists, Peter Fitting, Frederick Jameson, and Franz Rothensteiner, an Austrian SF critic and the official Western agent for Polish SF author Stanisław Lem, whom Dick accused of being a total party functionary. End note. I am tearing down time, space, causality, world. This would be subversive to capitalism, to the bourgeois mind, which is intimately connected with 18th century Anglo-Saxon rationalism, Newton, Locke, Bentham, etc. I am systematically undermining the philosophers and philosophy on which capitalism is based, and going back to a hermetic Gnostic Neoplatonism, and a vitalism replacing mechanism. I deal a lethal blow to Anglo-Saxon thought, to its vaunted pragmatism. I am not just asking what is real, as I've thought in E.G. Ubik, I state, give an alternate cosmology at the heart of what appears to be skeptical inquiry and tearing down. The reason the statement of this alternate cosmology is not recognized even by me is that this particular cosmology is so radically at odds with the rationalistic mechanical scientific one that we can't see it as a cosmology at all. 3:33. I am exoterically disseminating a very normally esoteric worldview. 3:34. Voice. The head Apollo is about to return. This is the hour you've waited for. Siddhartha is waking up. 3:35. Every time I go to sleep now, I again see writing, e.g., the only living reality we have now is Philip I, like a pope. This seems to express pessimism, as if the agency, the viaduct, right now is severely limited. To me? A very narrow and small outlet indeed. Philip I, perhaps the initial viaduct for the we to act through, a meager beginning, but still a beginning. Note the we, not I. Ah, living reality, i.e., the only present time outlet in the sense of living being present now, rather than at another time. Also, have now could equal have left to us, or now could equal at this time, only now could mean that others once in use, formerly available, fell through. Or, the now could be contrasted to the future, not the past, in which case only now equals so far. But it will later improve. They, the we, could be losing ground or gaining ground. It is impossible to tell. But what can be told is, I think, that whoever Philip I is, they are limited to him at present. Am I meant? The first points to this outlet as the start, not a falling off state of a previous, better process of outlet. So the first conveys a lot. It ties only and now, not to the past, but to the future. Thus, the first makes sense as meaningful data. A process is beginning, not winding down. So the sentence, so short, so laconic, opens up to mean we have so far only been able to take over a single piece of reality in this particular time so far. Philip. Boy. Can I exegete a lot from this sentence? 3:38. Regarding the Bowie film and the little boy on the raft floating toward England, the divine child won't be born, but rather smuggled in, like a cuckoo's egg in a host nest, disguised as a human, terrestrial, evading Scotland Yard, i.e., the authorities, extraterrestrial? No, it has to do with time, and he can mix his world in and out with ours, like a mixing board, space and time both. But he is an invader. But God knows from where or when. But another planet, the future, and or an alternate world? I have the strong feeling that the Savior of us all is about to be smuggled into our midst unnoticed, to mingle with us as an ordinary human, which he is not. But where or when he comes from, I do not know. I sense that Albion, in England, is the place where they will enter the divine child into our world. Part one of the book, the part in which Siddhartha sleeps, has ended, and we can expect him to awaken. The second half now begins. It is Santa Sophia's return, God's wisdom to earth for the second time, and this time he or she will be acceptable, will prevail. I am afraid because it is an awesome holy mystery and event, the most important event since the first advent. Abolishing counterfeit time and destroying the prison, freeing us and restoring us to what we once were and are supposed to be. I feel the terrible and vast majesty of the divine close at hand. Tremens factus sum, ego et timeo. Indie illa libera me, Domine. Qui tollis peccata mundi. Credo sed timeo. Note. Latin. I am made to tremble, and I am afraid. In that day, save me, Lord, who takes away the sins of the world. I believe, but I am afraid. All but the final phrase from the text of the traditional Requiem Mass. End note. Apollo, Buddha, Santa Sophia, the whole world will be drawn together by this, the universal divine Savior. He awakens now. He is nearing the shore, like King Arthur returning from across the sea, to reclaim his rightful throne in the kingdom on the silent, flat barge, with the sword Azath. Maybe what scares me is knowing that the books are closed or nearly closed. The books upon whose contents we will be given life or death. It's like that night when the cold moonbeam-like white light filled the bedroom, and we were as if painted in place with nowhere to hide. The eye of Shiva is upon us, herdsman and destroyer. Time is ending literally. Reality will be exposed, and all will become known, disclosed openly and weighed. We can only pray for rescue in this hour. The judge, the great assize, is here. The Pantocrator himself. I must remind myself that I saw my name entered in the Book of Life. All I need is faith and trust. All I need is to know that I have an advocate with the Father who will never desert me. 3:46. My dream last night. Cabin, pills, and copy of Planet Stories. Semi-conscious. I attempted to test out whether this dream world, so rich in detail, was generated by my mind. It was not. It didn't respond to my thoughts, e.g., I thought, critical article on PKD, but none appeared. The contents were not generated by me, but received by me. And the generator was deficient in generating detail beyond a certain point. The simulation fell short. But anyhow, it was presented to me adventitiously. It was as stubborn and unyielding as actual reality. Clearly, it emanated from the same source. But either push or pull was missing. Anyhow, here I am again, dreaming about written pages, and which refer to me. The title of the story was Beyond Lies the Wug, an obvious combination of wub and vug. Note: wub, an alien creature who can invade and inhabit other life forms, appears in Dick's first published short story, Beyond Lies the Wub, Planet Stories, July 1952. Wubfur appears in a number of Dick's works. Vug, telepathic, gambling-obsessed, silicon-based aliens from Titan. Vugs exert control over Earth via a game called Bluff in Dick's novel Game Players of Titan, 1963. Endnote. What do Wub and Vug have in common? Both are alien life forms which enter and take over a human host by an exchange of mental contents, as in human is, or simply impersonate humans, look like them through illusion generation. This was an updated issue of Planet Stories, and it was divided into two parts and was coming apart. The first wub seemed more hinted at, i.e. indicated, exchange of inner contents. But Vug suggests invasion of this planet by an alien life form, plural. The wub was a solo entity. The message is, this planet has been invaded by a benign, super-wise alien life form which exchanges mental contents and then uses the human soma as a host. The wub was wise and benign. And there was material in the book or magazine, not by me, but about me. So maybe my Matrix immortal self isn't human, but another life form from elsewhere, Albemuth. Thomas is not a human being, nor will be the savior. They were smuggled in like cuckoo's eggs. They are wise and benign, like wubs. But nonetheless, they have replaced human, lesser mental contents with themselves. 3:48. I'm surprised that I haven't always recognized the raft dream as a clue to invasion from outside. And one invader is me, starting as an infant. Thomas indeed came from the stars originally. He must have first wubbized in circa AD 45 Rome as a secret Christian. Voice: we will recant progressively in time. Recant means retract or recall. Means revoke, which means call back to mind, to memory, to restore, to bring back to use, operation, to recover. 3:50. Inner space of Paracelsus is perhaps the key as to how the immortal man can be transtemporal and transpersonal. This places world inside us. Did I not, in 374, when I regained my true vision, say I'd been seeing the universe backward? Perhaps I meant inside out. Yes, I felt we were on the outside like the skin or surface of the balloon, and the actual world was inside, with us outside. We are not at the center of the world looking up and around, but outside looking in. 3:51. What is real is neither world nor psyche, but rather the brain and its info traffic, which traffic we as stations of the brain faithfully process. Certainly then, world should be enjoyed as much as possible rather than being rejected. It is a present given to us so that we can find goals, ends for ourselves, and not view ourselves just as means, functions of the macro entity. 3:52. Anamnesis is nothing less than realizing what and where you really are. You perceive the brain and its traffic. You hear the voice of its noose. And you understand the irreality of psyche, world causality, and time. This is quite different from remembering, say, just a former life. what the macrocosm is, what one is, and what one's place and task in it are, this is what anamnesis as enlightenment is all about. It boils down to a way by which plurality is experienced as the one, and the person experiences his isomorphism with it and enters into dialogue with it, his micromind and its macromind, his purpose and its purpose, now understood as identical. Since it cannot die, he cannot die. Since it cannot fail, he cannot fail. 3:53. This is the hour you've waited for, and the head Apollo is about to return. The fourth eclogue of Virgil, which I came across years ago and have forgotten. At last, the final time announced by the Sibyl will arrive. The procession of ages turns to its origin. The Virgin returns, and Saturn reigns as before. A new race from heaven on high descends. Goddess of birth, smile on the newborn baby, in whose time the iron prison will fall to ruin, and the golden race arises everywhere. Apollo, the rightful king, is restored. 3:55. Recant in time, i.e., revoke something already done, something which happened in their past, or emanating from an alternate world. This shows they can change the past. 3:56. The invisible, unending victory of Christ is the greatest secret and joyous mystery of all. It is not well understood. There are no books on it and no authorities on it. But there it is. Christ against Caesar. The latent inner versus the obvious outer. This is the underlying tale told down through 2,000 years and yet never told at all. He is here and not here, gone and not gone. In defeat, he wins. He picks up the dying straggler. He supports that which is failing and brings to ruin that which can defeat anything. Latent form is the master of obvious form. Which will you bet on? 3:67. This kind of experience and wisdom goes back all the way to Pythagoras, to the Orphics, and to Dionysus himself. It is the great core wisdom of all mankind, including the Dibba Kaku, enlightenment of Siddhartha, the Buddha. I can say I am a Buddhist, or even the Buddha, that in Brahmanist terms, I have an avatar in me. I am an Orphic, a Neoplatonist, a Christian, a Hermetic. All these statements are true. And also, I have to some extent formulated my own system, as Bruno did. I have seen God, but it was not God, it was more. And I have a cybernetics biological model. I am with Burma, perhaps most of all, and with his teacher, Paracelsus, most of all. And even with Heraclitus in his maxim that latent form is the master of obvious form, in my inner-outer, upper-lower, Christ versus Caesar system, and with Empedocles in his dialectic, and with Xenophanes in his concept of God or nous, and especially with Parmenides in his forms 1 and 2, of which form 2, lower, outer, obvious, is not really real. Thus, as with the Gnostics, I am acosmic, but with Spinoza in his monism, and a little Taoistic too. 3:74. Man as magic micro-mirror of the macrocosm reflects, and hence contains, the map or logos of the macrocosm replicated in miniature, Bruno and Hussey on Heraclitus. He contains the cosmos by containing this map or plan or logos of it. That's how it works. And since the cosmos is alive and thinks the map is alive and thinks. 3:80. This explicates a motive as to why we ourselves would blind ourselves to the true situation, the world of the BIP, the empire, acts. We wish to escape in a technologically highly sophisticated fugue system. But the BIP saw an advantage to it in our fugue. If we denied, forgot its existence, and entered a reassuring simulated reality, we would not act to attack it and destroy it, as the authentic early Christians do. So there was a base collusion between us and the BIP. It was a kind of pact. We wanted, as in Maze, to escape from the situation rather than solve it, i.e., overthrow the BIP. So joint, eye, stigmata, ubic, maze, and tears are progressive parts of one unfolding true narrative in which the genuine hermetic macro-microcosmology is put forth, the spurious world discerned for what it is, and in maze, and especially tears, the true state of things put forth, to jog our memories, six novels interlocked along with a number of stories. We are not allowed our fugue, sleep, and hallucinated worlds, because, due to the BIP from which we fled, this fugue over the past 5,000 years turned lethal. The BIP grew and grew with our now unwitting collusion. Freedom, then, and the courage to take a stand against the BIP are totally interwoven. We lost our freedom, exchanged it for an hallucinated world in which we could ignore and even serve the BIP instead of recognizing it, because if we recognized it, we would have to fight it and suffer at its hands or face our own evil, the voluntary serving of it by us.